Hollywood screwed you up.
What's wrong with people?
Earthquake? Yeah. Yeah. You watch one movie, and I mean, it wasn't even that good.
Damn it, Rock. Dwayne Johnson.
All right. Welcome to a very special TV show episode of Three and a Half Gentlemen. We are the podcast where three of the four hosts provide a refined and intellectual analysis of movies from our private collections, and one of us tries desperately to keep up. We'll let you decide which host is which, but for now, my name is Sean, and with me, as always, are my co-hosts, or co-Jedi, Jeremiah.
I am no Jedi, yo.
Eddie.
Take us out, Padawan.
And Brandon.
We got to crawl. We got to crawl. We got to talk about the crawl. We got to crawl.
You got to crawl.
Yes. Like, let's just talk about that.
Where's your quote? You're supposed to have a quote.
I don't have a quote. I never have a quote.
The best thing we've seen in Star Wars was the crawl.
That's all I care about. God. Once we got to a crawl, I was like,
45,000 articles. There's a crawl. Yeah. Not how good the show is. There's a crawl.
Act like you've seen one before, okay?
Which, jeez. By the way, no. Can we talk about this now? I know that we haven't gotten into it yet, but were you a little bit disappointed in the crawl? It just literally went
vertical.
Brandon, it didn't go back. Brandon, you got to crawl. Shut up. Eddie, go.
Thank you.
You know what it looked like? It looked like some kid with their little video effects thing on their computer.
It was
like
medieval, dude. It looked medieval.
Just
because that's what Star Wars.
I thought you've seen one before.
This
okay?
guy can't be happy.
Before,
you get to crawl on each. It's not happy. It's a new era, buddy. It's a new era. That's why you got that different crawl.
For the past several weeks, we've been gearing up the release of Star Wars Ahsoka. Whether you're a diehard Star Wars fan or not, if you want to catch up a bit more on Ahsoka and her band of rebels, then we definitely recommend listening to our previous episodes that track the rise of Ahsoka Tano through the Clone Wars and Rebel TV shows.
As with every review we give, our goal is to answer one simple question. How many drinks does it take to get through the film that, or in this case, the show that we just watched? Now, at the end of the podcast, we'll rate each episode based on a scale of 0 to 5, with 0 being the perfect episode that you can watch Stone Cold sober, and 5 being sort of the episode that makes you feel like you just taken a lightsaber in the gut. Was that really in the gut, or was it in the side of the kidney?
I mean, well, I hope it wasn't the kidney, because if it was the kidney, she'd be dead.
It was a clean stab, in and out.
And it was cauterized, so it's all good.
All right, Jackal. With that, do we have fighting its way toward us this evening, gentlemen?
Well, as Eddie said, we are finally getting the chance to see Ahsoka Tano in the flesh, aside from her brief cameo appearances in The Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett. Ahsoka the show follows the titular character as she and her fellow rebels Hera Syndulla and Sabine Wren try to keep peace after the fall of the Galactic Empire. However, there are plenty of Imperial scum still out in the galaxy who are trying to regain their lost control. You see what I did there with the rebel scum?
I did. Yes. Yes. Scum.
I did. Yeah. Anyway, this first episode of the season sees Ahsoka in search of a map that leads to the hiding place of Grand Admiral Thrawn. But she's not the only one searching for the map. Along with Hera and Sabine, Ahsoka Tano must decipher the clues and find the map's secret before Dark Jedi Knights Baylan Skoll and his apprentice Shin Hadi beat her to it. As of recording, the season has an IMDb score of 8.8 and an average critic score of 94%, with an audience score of 89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Should be higher.
You know what? The critic score, I think, is pretty reflective of where it should be. I'm surprised that the audience is low.
No, I think the audience is doing. I think the audience is doing what Jeremy said off mic. I think everyone is holding their breath for it to jump the shark like Boba Fett did, or like as much as we loved Obi-Wan, you know, that Inquisitor was terrible. We talked about that. There's a lot of elements of Star Wars, of being a Star Wars fan, that is living in disappointment.
It's like being an Angel fan.
It's like it's like root for your favorite sports team, but they constantly lose.
Got the two best players in the league, they can't do a goddamn thing.
Yeah, like one good season.
Adios, Otani.
Like,
You get like Mike Trout, and you're like, yes! And then you get other people. And all right, so let's jump in.
Let's start it.
Yeah, let's jump into the episode, and let's go chronologically.
Okay, fine. We got a crawl.
We finally got a crawl.
Red writing, that's new.
And then we get the ship in space, which it hit me in the feels.
That's how every Star Wars should start. I mean, honestly, it felt like it was the start of a movie versus the start of a television show. And I will say, for those of you like Brandon who want the yellow crawl, the episode, whatever it is, you're not going to get that unless it's a movie. They've said that 1,000 times. So the fact that we got a crawl and that we've set up this world and that we're seeing kind of for the first time, a non-Luke-centric story. This is pretty badass. This is a pretty badass.
You know what, I do want to give you guys props to this. I'll take any crawl over the Clone Wars. The rebel scum. Blah, 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 blah. So I'm glad we didn't get the voiceover guy coming in and being like, oh, we're just going to continue this damn TV show.
I like the Clone Wars quotes, though. I enjoyed the quotes in Clone Wars.
When you were reading the crawl, didn't you kind of have like the Clone Wars like voice in your head, like reading it down? You know?
I kind of did, yes. And I hated myself for it.
That's kind of funny, dude. Oh, God. But I like the fact that it's red, and I like the fact that it kind of brings a whole new vibe to it. Like, we're in this... it's like a new direction or something like that. It feels different, man. And I'm going to tell you something, dude. The opening sequence, you're right. It felt like a movie. I feel like I got like a Phantom Menace vibe, like the introduction to it, and also like a New Hope vibe at the same time. And dude, let's just talk about the composer, Kevin Kiner. That guy should be doing every Star Wars movie going forward when John Williams like fucking disappears and shit like that, dude. This music is fucking unbelievable.
Michael Luciano did a really good job in, I always say his name wrong, I'm sorry, in Rogue One. And I really liked the guy.
That was great.
No, it was all, he also did Episode 7.
Yeah, and I really liked the guy who did Mandalorian.
This guy in these first two episodes, I mean, I enjoyed it.
They're magical. This is the guy that did the Clone Wars and the Rebels. This guy is like the Padawan of John Williams, dude. Seriously.
Master and Apprentice.
What I love that he's doing is he's bringing in these themes from the television shows, and he's bringing in the themes from all, you know, OG Star Wars, and he's blending them together and giving you an idea that there's a greater universe at play. And Dave Filoni, right off the bat, in my opinion, says, this is my story. I'm going to tell the story like I want to tell it. This is about Ahsoka Tano. Mm-hmm. This is about, you know, he introduces Jedi into a world where Jedi are pretty much no longer. And there's a lot of Jedi. There's fucking four Jedi in this show. Yeah. In a time where basically Yoda said there was one, maybe two.
Yeah.
I do
need to correct myself real quick. John Williams was the composer of Episode 7, not Michael G. So,
yeah, Episode 7.
Sorry, everybody. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
But also, you've got, in my opinion, you've got the introduction, like Jeremy said, of two characters, two Jedi coming to a rebel ship. They don't quite know what's going on, and all of a sudden you have this great turn where it lulls you into this, maybe they are Jedi, maybe it's Ahsoka Tano.
Balin
maybe
and
it's,
Shin.
You know, and I mean, who are we going to see? Are we going to see Luke? Mm-hmm. Are we going to see, like, who is this Jedi? And then all of a sudden you have this turn, and they use the Force. They use the Force. They use their lightsabers, and it's visceral, and it's angry, and it's, to me, that first 10-minute fight was, or however long it was just, it got me in the mood.
I had a question, though. Okay, so the captain of the ship, right? They're trying to take the Night Sister, right? But overall, the captain of the ship, and instantly, you know, they say, "Oh, that's a Jedi code that they're letting, you know, that they have," and that's, and then this guy's instantly, he's so cocky, though, bro. You just won the Empire, like, why are you so damn cocky, like, bro? Okay, they're not Jedi. Okay,
that's why you saw the downfall of the Republic right there.
I realized they played off really well. It's like, this is why they lost it again. This is why the Empire came back up. Yeah. But I was thinking in my head, do they not really know of the other side besides the Jedi? Do they not know of the Sith? These regular peasants of the ship, do they not know who a Sith is? Or like a bad Jedi?
So one thing in finding the info for the script that, you know, you guys got mad at, I came across something that's really interesting. And so I'm not really well versed in the non-canon becoming canon Star Wars, but I just assumed that we would consider these two Sith, right? They're the Sith Lords, or, you know, Sith side. They're not. They're considered dark Jedi. And I'm really interested to see how that gets fleshed out. And really kind of what the difference is. I mean, do we call Dooku, would he be a dark Jedi?
No, he's a
Jedi?
Sith.
He's considered a Sith.
See, so,
he's
so a, where, he's a Sith. Is it, yeah, just because, is it just because then that the Imperial has fallen? I mean, what are we going to, how are we going to classify it? Sean?
So I'm going to give you a couple of little pieces of information, Eddie, to your question and Brandon to yours. No one knows about the Sith because they still don't understand that Palpatine was the leader of the Sith.
Yep.
They think he was the leader of the Galactic Republic.
A lot of people don't know that he was a Sith. A lot of people didn't know that he was controlling Darth Vader.
No clue. Yep. No clue that he was controlling Darth Vader. No clue that he was evil, because he was trying to quash a rebellion that was trying to overcome the Galactic Empire. So that he was seen from propaganda. If you look at something like Solo, the Empire was a good thing. It wasn't a bad thing. And then as the years progressed on, people got sick of the Empire because the Empire, like an overbearing and overreaching government. Perfect line is when Leia says, the more you tighten your hand, Tarkin, the more star systems will slip through your fingers. The Empire became overbearing and started to become worse. But they still didn't know that he was a Sith. They still didn't know he was evil. Now, to your question about the Dark Jedi, Brandon, you're having the aftermath of Order 66, where Jedi were once altruistic and wonderful and didn't have emotions and didn't have all of this. In order to survive, they've had to do some pretty fucked up shit. So it's only natural that some of them have embraced a anti-Jedi stance and become not Sith, not evil, bounty not horrible people.
Almost like bounty hunters.
But almost like they're living in the gray.
I don't think people know the Jedi. And when people are hearing like the word Jedi, everyone's shocked, like, what? They fucking exist? Are you kidding?
It takes me back to Luke.
Exactly. Like, they don't know that the Jedi exist still.
Isn't that Princess Leia's fault? And Han Solo and even Luke Skywalker send out a fucking memo to the rebellion and say, hey guys, the Empire was bad. And does no one send out memos here? Does no one like communicate with other people?
I think it's really an interesting thing that we're talking about, though, is that we have only, with the exception of Han Solo in New Hope, we've only seen the Jedi from a really small select group, right? That all understand that the Jedi exist. They all understand that the Force is real. But we haven't really seen it from, I guess, the peasantry stance, right? With the exception of Han Solo, and he's talking about the whole,
mumbo jumbo magic.
Which is interesting, and I've never really thought about that till right now, is that it's true that nobody is advertising the Force. Nobody's advertising the existence of Jedi.
Not to get quasi-political, but think about this, okay? How many people out there on planet Earth, or at least in the United States, don't believe we landed on the moon?
A lot. They think we're flat. Okay?
So this is a government conspiracy that we didn't land on the moon. Think about the Galactic Empire is 10 times bigger. And people are, I don't believe that. I don't believe that a single Jedi took down Emperor Palpatine. I'm sure it was, there's some other explanation for it. So, where's the memo?
Well, I think it also gets into religion, though, too.
Yeah, like, I don't even believe they exist. They can't exist. You know, something that powerful doesn't exist. For the normal people, and this is why you have to watch Andor, Brandon, because for the normal people on the ground, Andor paints this beautiful picture of normal grassroots people getting fed up with the government and literally saying, fuck you, Empire.
Going forward with these two characters, Baylan and Hadi, these are two badass characters. And it's really nice to have a villain, but we don't even know if they are a villain. We really don't know what they are or what they're trying to do. That one scene where he's just like, what's it in for us? The power that you can possibly imagine, you know? It's just like, holy shit. So where are they coming from? I think it's so interesting to have that in the beginning of the scene. And I think it's so interesting the way it goes right into Ahsoka. Man, it felt like Raiders of the Lost Ark, man, trying to find the well of the soul or something like that, dude. It felt fucking weird. And just the music and how she was trying to find the key, dude, that was fucking badass.
You talk about well of the souls. That's like a perfect film, isn't it, Ed?
Almost. She's by herself. At first, I didn't know she's really by herself. She has a droid with her, right? And there's five of these pretty badass assassin droids who know like pretty good martial arts and stuff.
Those were from the Knights of the Old Republic, the game. That's fucking badass. They're really pulling shit from
everywhere.
Every fucking like stage of Star Wars, dude. It's so cool.
So I have two criticisms about Ahsoka's escape from wherever planet she was on. The first is that she can't run. So in Star Wars canon, we've learned that the Jedi like have this like sprint, right? This really fast sprint. And she's like running away from this explosion. I'm like, are you going to go a little faster?
They made it look too real. I felt like I can run faster than you right now.
I felt like it was a Mission Impossible and Tom Cruise was running away from the Kremlin. So the second
Tom Cruise is jumping faster.
And this is just a personal problem with when you go to live action. If you look at the fighting from Clone Wars and Rebels, Ahsoka Tano was she flipped and she did all this really cool acrobatic stuff. And I feel like she's a little rigid and stiff.
She's older.
Fighting.
She's in her 30s now, bro. She can't do the flips.
She can't do the flips. And
I'll give that. She's 40.
I think it's because Rosario Dawson's wearing a 30-pound headdress and she just can't move like all that quickly. But I mean, it's just a little criticism.
I thought that battle scene with all those droids was pretty badass. And I actually liked that scene when she was running, the cameras falling it, you know,
kind of just impossible thing
here going forward with it, dude. That was pretty cool, man.
If we're going to talk about criticism, Sean, you are missing a big one. And that is the fact that those droids, when they blow, decimate that fucking place. And then when all of a sudden Baylan and Haiti come back, there's still ruins. They're still walking around like nothing happened. There should have been sand and that would have been it. That one pissed me off. I mean, that's a little picky thing.
There was all smoke.
So Shin did say what happened here, and then it made it look – it wasn't as pretty anymore.
No, Ahsoka shows up – Ahsoka showed up to ruins, and then decimation.
I'll have to rewatch that before I give my opinion. Then they're walking back, and I watched it again.
Those three big statues were gone.
It was a little bit more messy.
All right. It was already decimated set to begin. If that, Brandon, if that is your only criticism of the show,
I have
so
one
far,
more. I'm
then,
saving it.
But you know what? Bully for the show.
I don't like how easy. Technically, it was kind of easy for her to find this map. Well, I mean, it wasn't really that fucking hard.
But it wasn't supposed to be that hard for a Jedi. It's supposed to be hard for everyone else.
No, okay. Eddie. You know what pisses me off, Ed? And Ed, you hit a big one. It pissed me off how easily Sabine found the key. I'm like, and this is something that I've noticed, and I'm saying that this is a Filoni
fallacy. I love her as
fallacy.
A character. I liked her.
But my problem with these shows, and this goes to Clone Wars, and this goes to Rebels, and now in here, is that characters are too able to crack these impossible codes. And to me, I know I want some more realism, but man, she just looked at this little like Andromeda Galaxy constellations. It's like, oh, that's what we're going to do. There's no rhyme or reason. It's just like, we need to make this thing impossible and have no answer. And then magically out of nowhere, out of dust, literally, there's an answer. It just pissed me off.
I think you guys are fishing pretty hard on that,
I
dude.
Agree.
First of all, she has the eyes.
It bothered me that Ahsoka couldn't do it and Sabine could do it. I was thinking in my head.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They should have done it. Do you know why?
Because Sabine is a Jedi.
No, Sabine is an artist, and she knows how to actually see things differently than Ahsoka. If you guys watch Rebels, you would actually figure that one out. But
did we watch Rebels?
I watched the best episodes of Rebels.
By the way, listeners, you should go back and listen to our episodes on Rebels.
Absolutely, but I will say that her character is fleshed out a lot more, and I did not like her at the beginning. I thought she was kind of weird of Rebels. During the course of that show, she was the problem solver. She was the technician. She was the person who was gonna, if there was a codex to figure out, she was the one that was gonna do it. So it's not out of character.
She's a Mandalorian. Right?
It's not out of character to have her do it. I do agree with you, Brandon, though, that Dave Filoni has this tendency, and it's not a criticism because it's part of the plot moving forward, is that when he runs into a problem, he introduces a new character that solves the problem that he ran into. Like, if there's a problem, you just kind of overcome it with the next character. And it's not bad. It's just, it's actually a really nice way to introduce new characters. But at some point, like, the OG people have to sit down and figure it out.
Yeah,
like, you can't like Tano. Just keep introducing new characters.
I would like to have Tano, General Hera. It's Hera, right? General Hera?
General Hera.
Yeah, and then Sabine, like all three of them in the room, let's figure this out together. That would have been cool to see that all and all of them combined.
That would have been cool.
Can we also talk about the Star Wars, the best marriage in real life? I didn't know Hera is actually married to Obi-Wan Kenobi in real life.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead is married to Ewan McGregor.
Star Wars royalty.
Yeah, Hannah has issues with that, by the way.
Many good blessings.
I can honestly tell you from a casting standpoint, there was not one casting that I was disappointed in as of yet. And that's not true of Book of Boba Fett, and that's not true of Mandalorian. But Mandalorian has had three seasons. But this casting has been fabulous. And the look of the show, the overall visual aspect of the show is so different than Obi-Wan was or that Mandalorian
is. It's almost Sean, like it's cinematic is what it is. It is, yes, it is a movie.
It's much big. More than a TV it's show. Fucking yeah. big. It's John Huston.
It's gorgeous.
It's John Huston or, you know, it's Lawrence of Arabia. It's big deserts.
Ooh, imagine big, seeing big this on a movie screen.
Big ideas.
Right? Imagine seeing this on a big screen.
Right? What the fuck? Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah. Yeah, dude.
So let's
talk about Sabine.
I want to talk about Sabine.
She went on a bike ride and outdid a X-Wing.
Doesn't that remind you of the introduction to Captain Kirk in Star a Trek, which another episode that
I was
see.
Waiting for the Beastie yeah. Boys sabotage to come out.
How badass like, when she lowers the bike and then slides under and keeps going.
Oh,
she's my hands down favorite character.
Dude, I even like the music. I was just like, normally I would talk shit like, why are you playing fucking rock and roll in a Star Wars movie?
But
I'm like, but it sounds fucking cool. It looks fucking cool, dude.
So I don't know if you guys noticed a couple of Easter eggs. Number one was Clancy Brown from Rebels. Yep. And he was there in the last episodes of Rebels to basically liberate Lothal in animated form. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see him on stage. And then also the Loath Cat, the you know, the, basically the symbol of Lothal. Thing.
Yeah.
And she, I'm sorry, that damn cat was so fucking cute. And I couldn't get enough of it. And I did a little research. So let's take a poll. Who says it was digital and who says it was not digital?
Oh, shit.
It was not digital. You can't really have a cat like that. That's not a real species.
No, it had no nose.
No, it was not
was
digital.
Was it puppet like Grogu or was it digital?
Was it
a puppet?
Listen, I read the same thing probably. It was puppet.
Oh, it was a fucking puppet.
Thought it was
and
CGI.
I would have promised you it was CGI. But I could have also promised you that Grogu was CGI at the very beginning. I thought he was CGI for sure.
And BB-8. So, fuck it.
I love that scene when she's driving her speeder bike away. But I like the fact that she didn't join her ceremony because I actually believe that she doesn't feel comfortable that she's there and Ezra is not there.
It seems like she's the only one there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you feel like though she's turning her back on Ezra?
No.
She's just lost.
No. That's one of her best friends.
Like, what is she doing there?
I got on the podcast before we started recording. The first question I had is, did I miss it in Rebels when Sabine was the Jedi? Like, was that the biggest revelation of this episode? Because these two episodes are definitely Sabine Wren realizing that she had to rejoin the Jedi Order with Ahsoka Tano, which actually... Yeah. Ahsoka said she's not a Jedi either. So basically learn the ways of the Force.
Yeah.
No. Ahsoka's not a Jedi.
Yeah.
So basically she's just learning the ways of the Force. But I was pretty sure in Rebels.
Oh, yeah.
She was never Force sensitive.
I'm glad you mentioned this, Sean.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
Because I was mad at you when I'm watching episode one here. And I actually was pissed at you and Jeremy.
He's like,
because I said, how could you guys leave this
shows
out?
Me the episode?
How did you not tell us this?
Isn't she a Mandalorian?
So anyway.
Yeah, she is a Mandalorian.
Caleb taught her how to, like, you know, use the Darksaber. And she's the one who had the Darksaber and gave it to Bo-Katan. But there was always kind of like maybe a reference that she was like, you know, she had like that Force ability and shit.
But
it was never
overt.
Like, you know,
they made it seem like she is the apprentice of Tano and Ahsoka. She was the apprentice and it didn't work out.
She 100% was the Ahsoka.
She is the Padawan. Yeah.
And it didn't work out. And all of that
was
stuff was like, I was like, I'm sorry, come again? Did I miss season 5? Like, what the fuck happened? And what was...
That was the spoiler. That was the Jerry Springer thing. Like, whoa, well, shit. You guys, fucking, are you serious? And, what the fuck? Where the
survey
fuck
says
from?
She is a Jedi.
Did she show any Jedi force in the Rebels? Because Ezra gave the lightsaber to her to hold on to, right?
Mm-hmm. And how pissed are you that she removed the gun? Because that gun would have come in really handy when she got stabbed in the heart and she could have shot the person that stabbed her.
I hope Ezra comes back and he's like, why you mess it up? And he puts the gun back.
You know, I like the fact that there's this elephant in the room between Ahsoka and Sabine, because I like the fact that Ahsoka is still dealing with the trauma situation of her training as a Jedi and her experience with it. And, you know, kind of having the scars of, like, you know, the whole Anakin and Vader. And that's why she doesn't really trust herself how to train Sabine. I imagine so. But like the fact that there's issues.
We need
with
to
that.
Talk about this in episode 2, because that's when the beef really kind of hits the fan. But just as a precursor to that, I felt like that was not, I don't want to say developed because that's not the right word. It was not introduced enough as far as this. Because, I mean, from the Rebels episodes that we saw, and I'm talking more Eddie and myself, there never seemed to be any kind of clashing really between Sabine and Ahsoka. Ahsoka was just kind of like along for the ride more than anything.
It wasn't. Right.
Yeah, and so and I just
There wasn't any overt beef. And so here's what Dave Filoni has kind of jumped. He's jumped and presumed a couple of things that the audience has to catch up on. Yeah. And I think that part of it is if you haven't watched Rebels, it's not a shock. It's not a surprise. Like, okay, she's her old Padawan. Just like when we found out that Dooku was Qui-Gon Jinn. Like that was a huge shock. But if you're not really in like a deep dark Star Wars fan, you're not going to really get that.
Yep.
So we're just going to accept that Sabine is Force sensitive. She is a Jedi. She's not very good at lightsaber fights. She's not very good at the Force, but she's ready to go.
Back in the old days, she would have died.
That apprentice, Shin Hadi, that girl was just playing with Sabine. She was just playing and toying with her the whole time.
The only reason she decided
to
actually attack is because her robot guy is like, hey, like, probably should go now. Like, someone's coming. And she's like, all right, let me just whip around and stab her.
Did you also get another Phantom Menace thing where she like had her probe Joy trying to find and she was up in the hill? And didn't it remind you of like
one.
Darth Maul?
Yeah.
Like, episode one? It was so fucking cool, dude.
Because I like Baylan, rest in peace, Rey.
No, we need to talk about that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but Shin was amazing. Well, and Shin, her fighting skills were on point. I saw a lot of Darth Maul.
He brings a presence that we've really missed as a... He's not even a villain, but there's a presence about him that I'm like, oh, dude, where have you fucking been in the last few Star Wars movies and shit, dude?
Yeah.
So the problem with the sequel trilogy is that... What's his name?
Ren?
Palpatine?
Kylo Ren?
Was erratic and emotional, and he was not a strong, calculated... Mm-hmm. Darth Vader was a strong, calculated character. Palpatine's a strong, calculated character. Those are the types of villains that you want. This is kind of what Star Wars is built on, is someone who's going to take the time, make a plan, have an apprentice, put pieces in motion. Like, this is what Star Wars is about.
But he's mysterious. He's also mysterious. And that's what's fucking badass.
You get some parts of him with like, okay, he was, and I mean, is this episode or next episode that you get the idea that he was a Jedi, a young Jedi?
Just from the trailer. Everyone in the Order knew Anakin is what his line on the trailer.
We got that in this episode when the droid was looking at the lightsaber and he's like, yeah, there's only one person that made this design, and that was, Baylan Skoll.
So I think we need to talk about the big elephant in the room. And this is where Sean and Jeremy, go ahead and get your blasters ready for me. My one major criticism of episode one and episode two of Ahsoka.
We're not there yet.
Is Ahsoka. She is not the Ahsoka that I liked. She is so angry, and I was thinking this the whole time, and I'm watching with Sawyer, and he looks over at me, and he hasn't seen more than a couple episodes of Clone Wars and Rebels with me, and he goes, literally, I have a quote, Ahsoka is so mean, like, and that was his reaction. I am not a fan of the writing of Ahsoka. Now hear me out real quick. I love everything that I've been presented in these first two episodes. We'll talk about the second episode in a little bit, but everything that we have seen is brilliant. It is cinematic. It is written perfectly. It's paced perfectly. But the title character, I don't want to see her on screen. I like when the other characters are on screen. And the reason for it is that the Ahsoka that I really, that you guys, you, Jeremy and Sean have force fed into me, is this fun and excited and full of life character that has positivity and optimism. And we've got Rosario Dawson, who is just showcasing just anger and frustration and upset and pessimism. And I get that there's going to be an arc. I get the arc. She's going to be happy by the end of the season. I get that.
And I totally get what you're talking about, dude. Like, because Ahsoka has like this presence. But when I'm looking at this Ahsoka, I'm looking at, okay, here's one that's not been to one war, but been into almost two to three other wars. That's all she's known and everything like that. So this person's been seeing death, being down, you know, she doesn't have, she doesn't know anyone anymore, pretty much.
She's the embodiment of good.
No, you're right, Brandon.
That's something that she's going to have to probably find, because I guarantee we're going to have a lot of flashbacks about, you know, what's been going on here and everything for her. But I totally get what you're saying, dude.
This is where we should kind of have a one little conversation and move on to episode two. My question to you guys, and Eddie, you can add whatever you want. I see you. I'm sorry. Is I went into this show very excited that Hayden Christensen filmed scenes.
Yes.
Fucking forgot as I'm watching this episode that Hayden Christensen is even part of this show, because I was so wrapped up in the characters and I was so wrapped up in the plot that I'm like, I got over and I saw the trailer again. I was like, oh fuck, we're going to see maybe Anakin or maybe Darth Vader or maybe both. Like, I don't know, but now I'm really excited because it's only going to get better from where it is right now.
I'm excited for Anakin. I'm excited for Vader, Anakin. I'm excited for anyone on the dark side to show up, or anyone from Ahsoka's past also to show up. I'm hoping this, if you can throw Obi-Wan Kenobi in there, that'd be kind of cool. But I'm very excited. I agree with you, Sean. Like, this was so much emotion in this. I'm almost kind of happy that they kept it a little bit more empty, because I felt like it would have been too much with emotion. I was, to Brandon's comment saying, like, you missed the young, happy Ahsoka. The only thing that I have to maybe broaden your mind to is, and I had to keep thinking in my head, it's like, okay, she's not with her rebel crew. Obviously, she lost everyone, and she's probably not. I mean, she just has a lot of like shit on her shoulders, so she had to grow up very quickly. So like this past, especially right now, it seems like she is by herself. So she lost that. She lost herself. I'm hoping that she, with now the rebels coming back with Sabine and Hera and her group, that she gets more laughy and happy go lucky, because
she finds herself again.
Because I think I would really think that she lost herself.
Because Jeremiah is absolutely correct. She's been through two wars. At least she's lost everyone she's ever loved. She's turned her back on the Jedi Order. She lost her Padawan in Sabine, and they had a butting of the heads. She knows she's the problem, and even is acknowledged on the ship. This is her home. She's very isolated and alone. And I'm very much looking forward to her finding family again, because as she finds family, she's going to loosen. She's going to become happy and excited.
I think too that she needs to make amends with Anakin, and I don't think she's ever done that. I think she still thinks that she is the reason he became Darth Vader.
Ooh.
And I think that we're going to get some type of revelation that, I don't know if it's going to be an Anakin ghost or something like that. Like you were talking about, like, you know, on one of our previous episodes about, you know, the Ahsoka Tano origins, that, you know, that Anakin is going to let her know, like, my destiny was my destiny. It had nothing to do with you. And I think once she gets that away from her and actually kind of like let her know that it wasn't her, I think she's gonna be different.
I really hope so.
That's what I think.
The other thing that I think that I'm gonna plant this seed here and see if it grows into anything. I think that we're gonna have in the penultimate episode, maybe, or maybe an episode before that, I think we're gonna have the shock of our lives, and we're gonna see a young Anakin, Clone Wars Anakin, and a young Obi-Wan. Clone Wars Obi-Wan, and I think they're going to have a fight or something, maybe something we've already seen, and it's going to be a memory or something, because Dave Filoni is all about the fan service. He's all about the fan service, and I think
I know where you're going.
Okay, go ahead. Take it away.
Are you saying, are you predicting that we might do something with like the World Between Worlds, and that Ahsoka, in one way or another, is going to like confront or fight one of these people, like, you know, Anakin?
I think that in the War Between the Worlds, we might have an Anakin, Ahsoka, Obi-Wan battle.
I don't think we're going to have a battle. I think that we're going to have maybe a conversation. I think we're going to have a confrontation, but I don't think it's going to be a battle. Now, I was actually shocked out of my mind that we didn't see Vader. We didn't see Anakin in the first episode. I thought that we were going to, and we didn't. Personally, and I'm kind of split in this whole idea of do I want to see Vader? Do I want to see Anakin? And the answer is, personally, I really don't. I think that I'm good keeping my Anakin and my Darth Vader where they are. However, because the show is called Ahsoka, because Anakin Sky Guy is so fucking important to Ahsoka, they better bring his ass in, right? He is crucial. I agree with you to a point. I really like what you said, that she blames herself for him becoming Darth Vader. I don't think she necessarily blames herself for becoming Darth Vader, but she blames herself for not having done enough to stop him from becoming Darth Vader.
That's it.
And
you said it better than I think that, actually
suspected. No, but I can see though, Jer, her in a way taking it on herself and saying, you know, because of XYZ that she did, that it changed his course too. But what, you know, like I said, I love my Darth Vader in episodes 4, 5, and 6. I love seeing Darth Vader come in and destroy and kick ass in Rogue One. I love those versions of Vader. I don't really want to see, and this is something we talked about a little bit with Obi-Wan. I don't want to see the Obi-Wan Vader. I don't want to see the rehashed Vader that is just trying too much to you know, be that character that we want. I love where Vader has ended.
I personally think it will be cool to see Anakin more than Vader, and kind of going off of.
I agree.
Because I want to see. I want to see. I like to see Hayden. Before he was Vader, because you get more tutelage. Maybe she remembers some type of moment that would be cool.
I want to see a young Obi-Wan.
Yes.
In this show.
Won't happen.
I want to. In this show you could. Shoot flashbacks for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But then what I was thinking is Ahsoka then could be part of season 2 of Obi-Wan, because it would be the same time period. Yes. I know this show's at the same time period, but the flashback would be the same time period.
That would be cool.
Period.
I agree with that, yeah.
And that would be, you know, that'd be badass.
I have a few things I want to talk about. Part 2, the second episode. So let's break that down. Brandon, if you want to go and actually provide the context of what we're going to be talking about for part 2.
So the second episode of the season follows Ahsoka and Hera as they search a New Republic shipyard and uncover a hive of Imperials who try to keep Ahsoka from finding the whereabouts of Thrawn.
You also get Sabine surviving. I thought first, like, did she die in episode 1? Did she die? Did she not die? I don't know.
Oh, God. If they kill off the best character in end of episode 1, then...
I thought it was kind of cool. How episode 1 ended with just like, hey, we're going to stab her, fade to black. Motherfuckers, yes. Here we go.
I was like, oh, shit. She's out.
Didn't you get like these two episodes, especially the second episode, like, you know, we're going to like dark territories with Star Wars, you know? We got like witchcraft and like the ancient ones and just like, you know, possible death and shit, dude. I'm like, where
Dark Jedi.
Going,
yep.
I really like the introduction or the continuation of Morgan Elsbeth as a sister. She is so, you know, for those of you who don't know or you know, go back and listen to our Rebels podcast and our Clone Wars podcast. We talked about the sisters throughout
the Night Sisters.
Throughout that show, and they were a very important part of the cartoon, and that's where the show, to me, it got a little off the rails with witches and powers and sorcery and all that kind of stuff. But I think that what this show is going to do is it's almost going to create like a religious ideology of the Night Sisters, and that they're going to bring back Thrawn by creating something in science, this big ass. To me, this big ass machine that's going to travel through hyperspace
machine,
right?
Yeah.
And they're gonna go get Thrawn and bring him back, and that's gonna be their quote unquote magic.
Yeah. So, question: do you think that we're gonna get Ventress? Because I would love to see a live action Ventress.
Is that the same? This planet, is that Ventress and Darth Maul's planet? Is this their planet, or no? Is this a different planet? No. Does it?
That's Dothamir, and that was not in this.
That's not
show.
That's not this show. But Night Sisters are from there.
They're from Dothamir, and she is Dothamir.
The area where they at when they're looking at the whole
The map.
What planet was that?
I think that was planet Setos or something like that, which is kind of like, we don't know who built that. And she said the ancient ones, which is kind of like, what the fuck are you talking about? And what's really cool about this, guys, is that we're not dealing with, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far, far away. We're dealing with a possible in a whole nother fucking galaxy. You know, it's not outside the realms and shit like that, you know, the unknown thing. It's a total different fucking galaxy. We're going to get a whole different Star Wars legend, which is so fucking badass. And it's scary because we don't know what's going to happen. But with all the Star Wars canon and the Star Wars legend.
I like the idea.
You got the Dark Jedi who you really have not fleshed out. at all what their what their purpose is. Power. That's all. But what does that mean? Does that mean power from another universe? Does that mean physical power? Does that mean, you know, they're tapping into the force in a different way?
You know, Sean, I love that idea because I think that when we hear power, when what's his name? Balin. When Balin says power, I think that we all immediately go to like the Palpatine type of power, right?
Like authority.
Which is literally ruling over. I love this idea, and I would love to see them continue on with this thread of power not being power over other people, but literally growing in the power of the Jedi, growing in the power of the Force, and becoming, I don't know, what do you think? More just understanding of themselves within the universe?
So here's my theory. Yeah. They've turned away from the Force. So you've got Dave Filoni, who has dipped into this well several times on Rebels, several times on Clone Wars, with the world between the world between the worlds. And I believe this is where the living force lives. This is where the living force exists. This is it connecting all living things together, as Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon said. This is the source of the Jedi's power. I think that they are looking for a way to either harness, steal, or destroy that authority, that power, and decimate the force itself, decimate the living force itself, because they are so – think about this. They are so against their Jedi ways and the way that the Jedis did it, they want to turn it unnatural. They want to turn it evil. They want to do something else to it. And so the idea that they're going to harness that power.
Yes, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Brandon.
But that's where I think it's going broadly.
Yeah. It's an interesting way how you're thinking about that. But I actually think that Balin still practiced some of the Jedi ways. I mean, if you look at the Padawan, his apprentice, she has like that, the braid, kind of like what Obi-Wan Kenobi had. So I think he still kind of practiced some of the ways. But what I really think is going to do something more about the astrology and the force itself and trying to get that power, you know, because what is that thing? Like their names, I read something about like their names, like Balin and Hadi are like, you know, wolves. And we saw Rebels, the wolves represent the world between the worlds and shit, dude. I think that's the power they're talking about.
When Balin was sad that he has to go hunt down the Jedi, because he had like emotion, because I think it was Elizabeth or one of the Night Sisters, something saying about,
Morgan,
you have to, you know, kill the Jedi. And he's just like, you sad about this? And he's like, yeah, because there's not many left. And he doesn't, I don't think he wants to kill the Jedi. I don't, personally, I think he still has, he's really on the line.
So what if he wants to harness the Force?
Okay. So here's what I'm going to say. Jeremiah, I think that you hit it right on the head, that he is still very much devoted to the Force. And I would even argue against Sean and say that he's still devoted to the Jedi. And for one simple reason, he has a Padawan. He has an apprentice, right? He is keeping that structure. But here's the thing. Sean, you said that they're turning on the Force. They're turning away from, no, they're embracing the Force. I can see you saying, I can see them harnessing that world between the worlds. I cannot see them trying to decimate or destroy, because I think that if anything, they want to prolong it. They want to turn it into something that maybe they feel is better.
The alternative is they're after the truth. They're after the wills. They're after the truth. They're after the absolute truth of what the Force is.
That'd be opening up a whole new knowledge, a whole new TV show right there.
Is that what it is?
I do think also, I think it's a little bit of the old school way of Balin wants to be the new Darth Vader Palpatine. Like, if there's a way to be the guy on top, hey, why not? He thinks there's no one else on there. In his eyes, he's thinking there's no one there. Why can't I be?
I love you, Ed, but I disagree.
But that's possible.
I don't get that vibe.
I don't get the vibe, because I don't think he's evil. But at the same time, I said this a couple of podcasts ago, I love a villain who's convinced himself that he's right and everyone else is wrong. You're so committed to your religion, or you're so committed to your thought you got your blinders on to the rest of the world.
Yeah, you're a zealot for sure.
You know, Sean, I like the fact that you're talking about this, you know, and we're talking about these characters here. But the funny thing about this is that we haven't even come close to the main villain, which is Thrawn.
I know.
That's the funniest thing about it, dude. He's like Voldemort, dude. He who must also not be named type of shit, dude.
I've got a question for you guys. Do you think, and Jeremiah, you sparked me with this question, man. Do you think that we are going to hold off on seeing Thrawn until the last or second to last episode, and that's just going to be all season two. Do you think that they're going to introduce Thrawn earlier?
I wouldn't doubt it. Right. I wouldn't doubt it.
Like, we've got such a build, so right? So Thrawn's going to be in it. And then all of a sudden they're like, you know what? Yes, Thrawn's going to be in season two. Imagine the cliffhanger that we have at that point. I think it would be bad.
I think it would be a terrible shame. I think it would be a terrible shame not to have multiple seasons and to slow play this. One of the things about this show that I think is better than The Mandalorian and better than Bubba and better than Obi-Wan is the pacing. I think the pacing is absolutely fabulous because I don't know how they're going to fit it in the six more episodes, the rise and fall of Thrawn. I mean, think about this from an outside perspective. Nobody on earth that is watching this show that hasn't nerdily consumed all of Rebels even know who the fuck this guy is. Yep. So they've got to introduce him, build him up, and knock him down in six episodes. You're out of your fucking mind.
It's like
you're out of your mind.
It's impossible. I think that's good. Signing up for three seasons with this puppy. Like, there's three seasons here. Yeah.
I'm going to give you the wild card of this episode is the Inquisitor. What's his name? The third guy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to let you guys know that this guy might be the wild card in this episode or in this series because, one, he's not an Inquisitor because he doesn't have, Sister Six, Sister Seven. He has a name. This person has a name, right? And this person is a better fighter than the other Inquisitors because he knows how to fight Ahsoka. He's able to stand ground, but he was also smart, only doing what he needed to do to make it a distraction to Ahsoka and shit.
How badass, since we're talking about that, how badass when that lightsaber comes by her and all she does is just turn. Like, that was badass. Like,
no,
that was...
you're not allowed to make that comment because last episode or two episodes ago, you said, does everyone have a double lightsaber? Does everyone out in the universe have a double lightsaber? And how badass was it when he fucking shot out his second lightsaber?
Badass. I've seen that. No, I love her little, no big deal.
Check this out. He only used one saber at a time.
Yeah.
He was better than Kylo Ren, I thought. He was better than Kylo Ren the whole time.
Kylo Ren stuff.
That's exactly what Kylo Ren should have been. He shouldn't have said a goddamn word. He should have just been cool and mysterious like this guy.
Yeah.
Or like this person.
Yes.
But seriously, what they're saying here, now there's like kind of like a, I was watching this fucking, thing online, and they're saying that this person might be Starkiller from The Force of Unleashed, the canon video game. Now, the reason why they're saying this is because in the credits that they gave a shout out to additional voices to Sam Witwer, a Starkiller, who did the voice for Darth Maul.
So where are we getting his name?
So,
Jared, where are you getting his name? Did they say it and I just missed it?
A few times in the episode, like, you know, bring Mordok with you or assist Mordok and everything. Okay. So if you remember the game, Darth Vader had an apprentice, and that was Starkiller. He was the one who actually killed the father, the Jedi father, and took the kid as his own Padawan.
Against apprentice?
So you might have an opportunity where you're seeing Darth Vader's apprentice and Anakin Skywalker's apprentice.
I mean, how cool was that scene of walking up and you're like, okay, like, and all of a sudden you just see the guy standing there in his capes. Like, I wanted that to be that's how Kylo Ren should have been. Like, that he didn't say one fucking word.
I mean,
he was cool and he took off the cape. He was just like, let's fucking go. Such a good fight.
More than that, Eddie, do you remember the opening scene of New Hope when Vader walks in to the ship and you have the dun 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 and his cape is fluttering and he's walking across these dead bodies, like the presence that created on screen. We have not had a presence from a villain like that in Star Wars since, and that they keep trying it to resurrect Vader, and I think that in this show, you have like three people who have that presence. I think Ray Stevenson has the presence. I think that this guy has the presence. And honestly, I think that you have Thrawn who's going to have this presence. Because in the show, Thrawn was smooth, calculating. Smart. He was full of propaganda.
Hannibal Lecter.
He knew how to control the situation.
I'm just saying the thought of having Darth Vader's Padawan versus Anakin Skywalker's Padawan. I mean, that is fucking cool. That is cool. You just can't fucking, hopefully it works out. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's Ezra who's the Inquisitor.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Oh, shit.
Wait, you're saying Ezra is the
whole time there?
It could be.
Who's to say?
Undercover, who's dude. Undercover.
No. What if Ezra turns to the dark side?
Well, that would actually set up that in episode one.
Dude. Ezra's with Thrawn, though. Isn't Ezra with Thrawn?
This is the thing that we've been missing on Star Wars, guys, is the thought process. Intrigue. And like, remember when we thought of Force Awakens? The possibilities that we kept thinking in our minds. And this is what we've been missing for the past three different series. Jesus, and even the Obi-Wan, even though it was good, it was missing this.
It was missing the spark of new.
Yeah, I've seen enough movies, I've seen enough TV shows to see how they're setting up something. And Jesus Christ, Jeremiah, you're onto something, because we've got that hologram in episode one, which is causing us to have this long lost feeling for Ezra and where is he and how, what are the good things that he's doing? And for that moment to be shattered, for him turning, which also is foreseen in Rebels. Oh,
so let me throw this at you too. Okay. So I want to know a couple things. I want to know how long it's been since he disappeared.
Ezra and Thrawn.
I think they mentioned it. Didn't they say that? Didn't they mention it?
Was it 3 years?
Three or four. 4 years? It's between the 3 to 4.
I think Sabine mentions 4.
I think it's over 6 to 7 years.
I don't think so.
What anniversary was it when they were doing bringing back the rebels and they were celebrating Lothal independence?
Well, you have it right there.
Yeah.
What is it?
So according to denofgeek.com, it's been 5 to 6 years.
Ah, see,
so it makes sense. They have a 5-year memorial for that moment,
right? So it would be hard for me to believe that the Padawan of Caleb Dune, that, you know, the great Ezra Bridger, went dark. But
to look for Thrawn.
But I think it'd be kind of cool.
You Donnie Brasco it, dude. Now, you get in so deep that you become part of it and you get wrapped up in it. I see him going.
And that's the other side. Brasco it. I mean, that'd be pretty badass.
Didn't Thrawn and Ezra leave at the same time and disappear into space? Right. So that makes me think, I don't know.
Because what has Thrawn been doing for 5 or 6 years? What is he like? So they're going to go to Thrawn. That's what their goal is. He's across space and time. What the fuck's he been doing? Has he been building an army? Has he been controlling a world? Has he been like, what has he been doing?
He's been knitting.
Did you guys like the introduction of Chopper and that the Phantom coming in and that whole air battle sequence? I thought that was
great.
Was that an AT-AT they're shooting down? Was that like a spaceship AT-AT that was like, pew, pew, that was shooting down Hera's ship?
It was just cool to see that come to life. The Phantom and seeing Chopper and just everything. It looked fucking, it was definitely fan service. It was definitely a love letter to everyone that really enjoyed Rebels and shit, you know. But I thought that was pretty cool, dude. Hopefully down in a couple seasons, we might get to see him. They should bring the whole cast. I'd like to see Caden Dune as, you know, a Force Ghost, hopefully.
Oh,
I
would love Freddie to see, Prince.
You know, hopefully maybe Freddie Prince Jr. comes in. That would be fucking cool,
but
man.
Zeb was in the last season of Mandalorian.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
It's in the same time.
So I'm kind of thinking that he might, you know, he might make an appearance in this show. So
is this the same time as The Mandalorian, or is it before it, after it? Right.
First season, yes.
So the episode of The Mandalorian that Ahsoka Tano was in, where Michael Biehn was the guest star and he got the Beskar long spear, the person that Ahsoka was after in that fortress was the same one, the same Night Sister that was on the ship in episode one and that escaped and that is creating.
So is this before it?
Or is this after? This is after it. This is after Mandalorian, but during the same, it's like picked up exactly the same time as Mandalorian.
Just think of this. In Mandalorian season 3, this story is taking place at the same time.
I don't think it's the same time. That's, I think one's before the other one, but I don't know which one, because
it's not.
That means if it's after, she already seen Luke Skywalker, Grogu.
Yep.
But she already has done. She all needs that. To mention yep. that. If she hasn't mentioned that, then I don't believe it.
I mean, no. That she has the Night Sister that she captured.
Yeah, she captured a Night Sister from the Rebels episode. Remember, like, but in the Mandalorian,
she captured a Night Sister in the Mandalorian episode.
Yeah, in season two, the Jedi, when you get the first introduction, she fights that person, the same person that you're talking about right now.
Yeah, that's the same person. But I was trying to think of when that was captured. I thought that was the Rebels she got captured.
No. It was in Mandalorian
season 2. What we're seeing, Ed, is we're seeing what Ahsoka was doing in the time between.
So are you gonna see the Mandalorian?
Maybe.
I think we could see a crossover.
Maybe that's the thing too, guys. Maybe like the story is going to continue into the big Mandalorian film where you're going to get both of these two sides of the stories or these two series into
all three series. So there's a third there's a third series coming out, and Dave Filoni said that the movie is going to be a culmination of all of Mandalorian, Ahsoka, and the third one, all their storylines.
What's the third
together
one about?
With Grand Admiral Thrawn?
Grand Admiral Knights Thrawn.
It was supposed to be Knights of the Old Republic with Cara Dune, and that got scrapped and replaced with something else. Now, to answer your question, Eddie, everything's happening at the same time, which means a couple things. Number one is that Luke Skywalker is a young and powerful, essentially Jedi in this universe. Yeah, there's a lot of shit going on.
Guys, did you guys like the last part of this episode where it was just like the same scene as how the Rebel season finale ended and how this episode 2 ended? If you put both of them together, it's the same scene where
the mural
Sabine goes and gets ready and he looks at the mural and you look back.
It's a good throwback.
And it's Ahsoka right there.
Yeah. It was meant for it. Yeah.
That's exactly what they were trying to do. Like, this is what we saw in the series finale of Rebels, and this is where it's supposed to start the story of Ahsoka. That's the vibe
that I got. Exactly right, because what Dave Filoni did is he said, okay, in these first two episodes, I've introduced all the characters. Now we're picking up where the story ended, and let's go.
Yep.
And let's go.
This is where the fun begins. And that brings us to the end of our review. Now it's time in the podcast where each of the hosts provides a score on the following scale. Thrawn, Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yeah, don't just call me Thrawn. Please, scale, Grand Admiral. Please. Zero, a perfect episode you don't need shit to enjoy. One, a feel-good first cocktail. Two, a happy buzz. Three, you're an Uber lifting home. Four, rough morning walk of shame. Five, blacked out, shit-faced, spring break drunk. All right, gentlemen, let's start with Brandon.
So I wish that I had gone back and remembered what I scored Obi-Wan, because I would have loved to have taken any score.
Oh, I can tell you that right now.
Okay.
First episode was a 2.20.
Okay.
Second you episode was a 1.
That was a good
episode. What?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Okay, so anyway, here's what I'm saying.
Okay, go.
I would love to have gone back before Jeremy gave it to me and seen what I scored Obi-Wan, because simply put, the first episode of Ahsoka is better than anything that we saw in Obi-Wan. And I mean that with everything that I have. I am very, very frustrated with our portrayal of Ahsoka at this point. I feel that for a show with her as the title, I'm more interested in every other character. I love all the peripheral characters, and I care very little for what I'm seeing with Ahsoka. Now, granted, I know that it's a long season and it's a long series. I get that. But still, I want Ahsoka to come out swinging. I think Jeremy and Sean have fantastic reasons for why she's morose. I'm not saying she shouldn't be morose. At the same time, I just didn't connect with Ahsoka in the slightest. And because of that, I am going to rate my score a little bit higher, lower, depending on how you look at it, a little bit worse than I think I would normally, just because I didn't like Ahsoka. I didn't like her character, and I really don't care about what happens to her at this point. Now, it's really tough, though, Jeremy, because you reminded me that I gave Obi-Wan a 1 at some point. So what I'm going to say is... Episode 1 of Ahsoka was badass. They introduced characters in a perfect way. I think Sean hit the nail on the head when he said that this show is perfectly paced. This show is not just perfectly paced. Cinematographically, it is beautiful. It is a masterpiece of filmmaking. It's a masterpiece of storytelling. I'm going to say that this one, episode 1, is a 0.75. I think that it's starting off really, really strong. So 0.75 for me. Eddie, because I love you very much. By the way, every listener out there, if you only knew how I feel about Eddie and the love that I have for this guy, I tell my wife all the time, I think Ed might be my favorite of the gentlemen. So, Ed, I'm going to go to you. Just kidding. Sean, it's actually you. Well, Jeremy,
I'm just
going
to walk away now. I say good day to you now.
Good day to you. Good day to you, sir.
Just to make Eddie feel better.
Thank you. Thank you, Staff Sergeant. What to say bad about this is hard. I felt like I was just, you're so excited to watch this show. You know, got home from work, turn the TV, put all the kids to sleep early, even the wife. I was like, okay, it's just me and the TV watching this. I had to watch this 1 and 2 twice within like span of 2 days. So, you know, that's probably about the same for everyone. So I love the idea of the whole Indiana Jones opening scenes. Ahsoka, I wanted her, I felt like she was a little slow, but I think that's what you get. I'm so used to seeing her in Rebels and Clone Wars, of her making flips and everything. You know, I want to pretend the idea of like, okay, maybe she's 45. I don't want her to throw a hip or anything. And she maybe is a little more
mature.
She's
really not a cartoon.
A little bit more real with her moves. It was still cool, clean fighting the whole time with her. Like, I do think she's the best player, best actress to play Ahsoka. I do think there's little parts here and there, like we've talked about with episode one, of, okay, it was, you know, it was a little easy here and there to pick apart the map and for a Sabine. And I just don't like how she lost it so quickly. But, you know, they put a story to it. So I think that was what was supposed to happen. But overall, it's still the fight scenes were amazing in the first 15 minutes. And also the last 5 minutes, my jaw was on the ground. And because of that, I give this very close to what Brandon gave it. It's a 0.80. Yeah, that's a 0.80. Yep.
Well, I remember when we reviewed episode 7 all those years ago, The Force Awakens, and how excited we were about a new prospect of Star Wars that was it was going to be monumental. You had the original cast back. You had some really exciting momentum going into that moment. And then we got the shit show that was the rest of Rian Johnson's devastating Last Jedi. And then they tried to save Rise of Skywalker, which they did, but it still did not feel like Star Wars. Rogue One is the last project that felt like Star Wars.
Yes.
And not since then have I been this excited about a television show or a Star Wars project. Like I said before, being a Star Wars fan is kind of like you live in 50% misery. You never know what you're going to get, and 50% of the time it sucks.
Yep.
This is not that. This is the good. And cinematographically, like Brandon said, this show is gorgeous. It's paced beautifully. We didn't talk about the costumes. We touched on the music. The storyline is fabulous. The fight scenes are fabulous. It's exciting. It keeps you enthralled. It doesn't matter what you're waiting for. In and of itself, if you look at these two episodes, which represent probably about 20% of the entire season, if it keeps on this pace, it's going to be a great show. Very difficult to rate the first two episodes because I haven't seen the rest of the show. And I'm going to go out on a leap and say I think episode one was a 0.5. I think that it was as close to perfection in that it hit every single emotional, nostalgic, and it brought me back into a world of Star Wars, and it did something that I did not think that the show could do. It reignited my love and excitement for this franchise. And I hope everyone feels the same way, because I don't know how better to express it. There is no better human being at the helm than Dave Filoni. If anyone is going to get this back on track, it is this man right here. And if he, you know, if we have some negatives to say about it and he goes off the rails a little bit, all is forgiven, because this is the direction that Star Wars needs to go.
Sean, I couldn't agree with you more. I was going with that score too, man. I agree. Good job.
Yeah, I'll piggyback from Sean what he's saying about Dave Filoni. I feel like Dave Filoni has done something special here.
He's amazing.
I believe this guy, with these first two episodes, saved Star Wars for me. You know, the first two episodes of Ahsoka has done something special, has done something for me that it's only happened for a few times in my life. And it's like what Sean was talking about, the excitement and the pure imagination that I'm thinking about what's going to be happening. That's all inside of me right now. Like, I'm just like, so, you know, what I was the first time, like when Phantom Menace came out, or when,
we redid A New Hope in 1999, and you're in this line there.
Exactly. You know, new scenes, deleted scenes and shit, you know.
Unbridled expectation is what it is. It's just, you just don't know what it's going to be.
But it's taking me back to that feeling that I've missed so much. This thing connects all the way to like the original trilogy, the prequel trilogy, and even like the Star Wars legend here. You know, the story grabs you and it places you on the right path. The acting is great. The visual is fantastic. The music is stunning. It's my fucking soundtrack, dude. I love Kevin Kiner, what he's done. He's put this atmosphere that I've miss in a very long time, probably since Rogue One, dude. It's too early for me to rank both episodes right now or how the series is going to land. For me, the first one is a 0.5. The second one is a 0.6. There's nothing. The only problem I had was that they focused too much story on Sabine rather than Ahsoka. And that's my thing here.
So 0.5.
That's the only thing I would have more on Ahsoka.
0.5 for episode one.
So I got a 0.5. And also for episode two, part two, it's a 0.6.
So let's start with the episode one that we've all scored. So that's going to be, if you add up all those scores, Eddie, and divide by four, what does episode one of Ahsoka get a rating?
It gives us a 0.6375.
A 0.6375. Jeremiah, where does that
damn us, Eddie?
Of all the shows that we've done so far, what is Ahsoka looking
like?
Please
let it be better than Wednesday. Oh my God, let it be better than Wednesday.
Well, if we did Obi-Wan, that got a 1.67. Okay. Last of Us got a 1.625. Yep, Wednesday got a 2.56. Oh. And Stranger Things Season 4 got a 6.025. This got a 0.638.
So it's a little bit rounded up. A little bit worse
than Stranger Things.
Keep in mind that Stranger Things was a culmination of 4 years of emotion.
Yeah.
So this is the first episode of a brand new show.
What do we say, Sean?
It fits exactly where it should be.
It's exactly where it should be. There's reason.
All right. So Jeremiah, you've given your
I already gave you my score. It's
0.6. So episode two, to me, I agree with Jeremiah. In he didn't talk about it that much, but his score was slightly higher, it was a slightly worse episode. I think that there was a couple of things that this episode did that just didn't. It was still great, just didn't make it as good as the first one. The number one is I thought it was a little short. I'm a little disappointed in Disney when you've got basically the biggest movie house on the planet and you can't make a 45-minute show. Make a 45-minute show. Like, it's not that it's
outside
not that
outside the credits. Outside the credits. Right. Yeah, jeez.
You know, CBS can do it. You could do it. I promise. so that's my only real criticism is I didn't get enough. But that being said, I loved the plot. I loved the fact that Hera got to team up. I personally, I know Brandon doesn't really care. I love seeing Chopper. I love seeing Ghost. Seeing Hera, and I like when a plan comes together. When the little sensor tracking thing goes on the ship, and to me that was vintage Star Wars. Same as when Bubba Fett put it on the Millennium Falcon.
Darth Vader put it on the Millennium Falcon too.
Yeah, so it's like Millennium Falcon is the most tracked ship in the galaxy.
Yeah, it's pizza, that's why.
Anyway, I really enjoyed this show. I'm with Brandon, though. I'm hoping that Ahsoka gets a little happier, that she laughs, and that she enjoys herself a little bit more. And I said this in the prequels when we were talking about the rise of Ahsoka, that I was worried she was going to be too stoic. And I'm hoping that she just breaks out a little bit. And that's where I'm at. I'm going to go with a 0.6 as well for the second episode, just slightly worse than episode one. A shot with just
but
a little
still good fucking
great
episode.
Great fucking episode. Eddie.
It was, yeah. So I watched episode two and I liked scenes of episode two, if that made sense. There's a lot of scenes I liked. The whole episode as a whole, I felt like there was times where I was bored. I don't know, because episode one was so had me on my heels. So episode two had to like come back down to earth a little bit with like, okay, Sabine, she's healing. She's kind of getting a little feel for herself a little bit. She wants to come back in. She doesn't want to come back in. She doesn't want to come back. I don't know what she wants. So she bugged a little bit at the beginning of that. But the best part about this personally is seeing that fight between the double fight between Ahsoka and the two. The non-Inquisitor, and then also the droid, and then also Hera and the battle of the ship. It's not Ezra yet. Okay. It's not. So that was like the best part. I think this episode gives you a little bit more idea of there's still a lot of, Empire, pledges out there that are secret, that are hiding, that this is all going underneath the nose of the New Republic. It just, I mean, made sense a little bit to me, but I just felt like It dragged on in certain parts of the episode. I still think it's a great episode, but I'm not going to rate it as good as you guys. Personally, I think it's actually a 1.2. I feel like it's short. It was a lot shorter. Like, I looked at it and I was like, okay, like besides 20 minutes of it was, it felt like it was super short, and I didn't get what I wanted out of this episode. It was still a great episode for giving a 1.2, you know, just that's a feel good first cocktail with a little overflow. So that's why I give it a 1.2.
Yeah, so I think that all you guys said it perfectly. And I think that a fun drinking game would be to go back and listen to all of our TV show episodes, and really the episodes that are not one or the finale, and take a shot every time we say it's a filler episode or it's leading up to something, right? I think that's the problem with trying to score each and every episode in a lot of ways, is that we have so many bridging episodes, right? This is a bridging episode. It's taking the information from episode one and it's giving us a bridge into the rest of the season. You guys all said it, right? It's really hard to score this episode. And I'm right there with you. I think that you guys all said justifiably perfect things, and I would love to just recap everything. But the ones that I'm going to hit are, it was a boring episode at times. I felt like the shipyard was kind of a waste, right? It gave us this idea, yeah, like Ed said, that, ooh, there's Imperial allegiance, but at the same time, okay, devote an entire portion of an episode to it, I don't know. Sabine, something that we talked about off recording, but I need to bring up now, her cutting her hair was like a blow in my gut. It hurt.
Oh man, you missed a war element to
true.
It, man.
Well, I'm going to wrap this up because I'm just going to keep talking. I love Sabine. I want to see more Sabine. If they had a side episode or a side series just in Sabine, I think I'd be happy with that. I love Hera, who I didn't like.
It was called Rebels.
I don't know if you heard me. I didn't like Rebels. I don't like Rebels.
You didn't
like
the
Rebels.
Five episodes that you
You're
saw.
Right.
I'm
Guess
telling
what?
You.
Guess what? You're prolonging the inevitable. You're prolonging the inevitable. No, anyway, I didn't like Rebels. I love this, the direction of this series. I'm looking forward to what we have with season one. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with season two and every subsequent thing that we have with these characters. Ahsoka needs to find some kind of purpose beyond being a brooding middle-aged yes. teenager. That's all I'm going to say. And so for that, I'm agreeing with both you guys, or all three of you guys. I'm going to give it a one. It was not as good as the first one. I don't think it was a major step down just because it is a filler episode. It's leading up to something that's going to be coming down the pike. So I'm going to say that we've got a one for me, just a feel-good first cocktail.
All right, Eddie, when we take those scores and divide by four, what does episode two get an average rating of?
It gives us a 0.85.
0.85, I believe, is still going to be lower than most of our shows.
You know what that means, guys? You know what that means? No, if you're looking to get drunk, don't watch these shows, because one drink should knock you down.
Not a full drink. So 0.85.
When you combine both episodes, we get a series average of a 0.74.
Yeah. Rating. I think that's exactly where it should
be. We still have six episodes left.
So we have a couple. I have a couple of things to say before we wrap up the episode. The first is thank you very much for listening to this Ahsoka podcast. This is kind of a culmination of a lot of weeks of hard work for us to get here to this episode. We invite you to go back and listen to the origin story that we have created for Ahsoka. Not that we created, that we reported on.
I heard it was the best out there.
Previous, yeah. where we kind of dive into episodes and talk about Ahsoka as she rose through the Jedi ranks and then ditched the Jedi ranks and then
the word around the campfire.
The show through the show Rebels. So we please invite you to go back and listen to all of that. And we'll be here every week breaking down the newest episode of the show. I also wanted to give a shout out to another show that's coming out that I have enjoyed immensely. And I know this is kind of counterproductive, but we're not going to do a podcast on it or anything. But it is, I think, some of the best TV watching you could possibly get. It's on Hulu. And it's called Only Murders in the Building. And this season specifically has Meryl Streep and it has Paul Rudd. And it is absolutely some of the best writing that you can find on television.
Well, listeners, if you want us to do that series, I mean, by all means, just let us know, because, you know, we just want to make you happy.
I've been watching Lioness. I liked her a lot. I recommended watching it.
Jeremiah, any shows you're watching that you can give a little shout out to?
I finished The Bear season 2, and I thought that was fantastic. Pretty fucking badass. Fantastic. Man. Fantastic.
No. In truth, show, I am doing things way late and watching and finishing Game of Thrones. And I know I'm way the fuck late on that, but I got to get ready for the Snow spinoff. I got to watch that.
Yeah. I really do appreciate all of you listening. We really appreciate all of you listening. And yes. We invite you to give us a 5-star review wherever you're listening. Typed Out is the best on Apple or wherever, you know, whatever podcast you're listening.
Definitely.
And you can find us on Instagram at @TheDotGentlemanPodcast. The dot means a lot. You can visit our website at thegentlemanpodcast.com. Once again, thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week with episode 3 of the first season of Ahsoka. Cheers, gentlemen.
May the force be with you.
Always.
Cheers.